Last year, the suicide of scientist and former weapons expert David Kelly triggered an investigation in Britain that reached into the inner circles of the government of Prime Minister Tony Blair and raised a serious question. Did the government doctor intelligence reports to exaggerate the threat from Saddam Hussein? Today, Lord Brian Hutton published the report that some thought might force Blair's resignation. Instead, the chairman of the BBC's Board of Governors has resigned. David Kelly killed himself last summer after he was named as the source of a BBC report claiming that Blair sexed up the intelligence on Iraq's weapons of mass destruction. Nick Fielding is a senior reporter for the Sunday Times of London. He's been following this story, as I think everybody has in Britain, for the last several months. Thanks very much for being with us today.
It's a pleasure.
Remind us of the original controversy. This centered on the government's claim in a pre-war dossier which warned about weapons of mass destruction in general, and it said that Iraqi forces could deploy chemical weapons on the battlefield within 45 minutes.
That's correct. That's an allegation which was reported by a BBC journalist who said that effectively that the government had known that claim to be false when it had been included in the government's dossier published in September 2002. And that was part of the background to this report. I should stress, Neil, that the report's fairly narrow terms of reference were to investigate the circumstances around the death of Dr. Kelly. It was not a full investigation into the intelligence that we had prior to the conflict in Iraq.
Indeed, but it came to be accepted by people, I think, on both sides of the Atlantic in some respects as a proxy battle over the justification for the war.
It was indeed, and there was, it was a very remarkable inquiry. We had, for the first time, really, in modern history, a very, very interesting insight into what happens in the back rooms of government. You had people standing before the judge, Lord Justice Hutton, from the intelligence services, from the back rooms of the Defence Ministry, and from Downing Street, and so on. And this was, actually quite remarkable to see this level of detail. Now, the interesting thing is, in a sense today, that the report has come out, and I think most observers and most journalists certainly have seen the results today. It is a comparatively bland and very tightly written report, which does not stray very far from those official guidelines to what it was supposed to do.
Well, tell us, for example, what does the report conclude about both the government's role? Well, why don't we start there with the government's role?
With the government, it accepts and very strongly, there's no room for kind of doubt in the way that the judge has put his report together. It accepts that the government did not sex up, as the term says, its dossier on Iraq, that it accepted intelligence which it believed to be accurate at the time. Now, we have since found out, it's been reported in the last few days, in fact, that 45-minute claim, for example, the very person that made it is now saying that it may not have been true. The judge has discounted that anyway. He said it doesn't matter whether it's found to be false in the future or whatever. The fact is, was it believed and was it thought to be accurate at the time? And he accepts that the government was correct to do that. He strongly criticizes, it has to be said, he strongly criticizes the BBC for allowing, in the first place, its reporter Andrew Gilligan's report to go on air, and secondly, when it was challenged by Downing Street, for backing him without checking precisely what the reporter actually had in his notebook.
And indeed, as we reported earlier, the Director General of the BBC has offered his resignation and an apology.
In fact, the Director General has certainly apologized. The Chairman of the Board of Governors of the BBC has actually gone tonight. He's resigned.
There's an irony
on that because he's actually somebody who was put into post, in fact, by Tony Blair himself.
As was Lord Hutton, appointed by Tony Blair, but he appointed a judge, a respected judge, and a man who was doing this as his final act. He's leaving public life after this report and presumably has nobody to please or to be afraid of.
That's true, although I think when he was appointed, the main comment that was made was that he was seen very much as a safe pair of hands. You can draw from that as you wish.
Okay. After the report came out, Tony Blair went to Parliament. He had said if the report found that he had deliberately misled the British people, he would resign. In fact, he said the falsehood was, in fact, the report that he had doctored the information. Let's listen to an excerpt of what he told Parliament today, that he called for the media to recant its accusations that his administration was responsible for exaggerating intelligence and leaking the name of David Kelly.
That is how this began. With an accusation that was false then and is false now. We can have the debate about the war, about weapons of mass destruction, about intelligence, but we do not need to conduct it by accusations of lies and deceit. We can respect each other's motives and integrity, even when in disagreement. Let me repeat the words of Lord Hutton. False accusations of fact impugning the integrity of others should not be made. Let those that now made them withdraw them.
Yeah! British Prime Minister Tony Blair speaking before Parliament earlier today. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Still with us on the line from London is Nick Fielding, a senior reporter for the Sunday Times of London. And Nick Fielding, this tops two remarkable days of politics for Tony Blair. He eked out a victory over rebels in his own Labour Party yesterday. I won a 5-vote margin in Parliament on an issue regarding fees at universities. And today he dodged another bullet.
It is a very remarkable day, a pair of days, in fact. There was plenty of speculation around prior to these 2 days that this could be a very tough time, that Blair may even end up having to resign at the end of the 2 days. In fact, he's, as you correctly said, he's pulled off a coup in both respects. But I think the one should be aware that, that there is a degree of damage here. He's had to perform sort of miracles within his own party. I think that a lot of people realise that that there are many further tough battles ahead, and he cannot call on the loyalty of his party members time and time again like this and be taken right to the edge. And I think that's the overall feeling that has come out from these last couple of days. On the issue of Kelly, okay, the precise background into the death of Dr. Kelly has now been sorted out by this judge, but the overall issue of weapons of mass destruction and the intelligence that we had and the accuracy of that intelligence remains to be debated, as Mr. Blair acknowledged actually in the segment you just played.
Yes, indeed, and of course we've had a similar conversation in this country about somewhat different issues, a suicide of a weapons expert having nothing to do with it on this side, but recently David Kay, the former weapons inspector who returned to Iraq to look for the weapons of mass destruction and did not find them, has said that he does not believe they existed before the war. He was among those who was very prominent saying before the war he thought they were there. He has come out to the conclusion, not that the President of the United States owes an apology to the American people, he told NPR this weekend on Sunday morning, but that the intelligence services owe an apology to the President. Is this likely to raise the same kinds of questions in Britain, that the government believed these reports that, you know, that have since proved to be inaccurate?
I think there are going to be repercussions to that, because there are certain questions. I mean, one of the people whose roles was looked at in detail by the Kelly Hutton inquiry was the chairman of our Joint Intelligence Committee, John Scarlett. And until that inquiry, Scarlett was being touted as the possible next head of the External Intelligence Service, MI6. That now seems increasingly unlikely. And I think there will be further fallout in relation to the whole question of the nature of the intelligence and why it was prepared in the form it was prepared and just how accurate it was. Those things are still to come.
Let's get a caller in. Ben joins us from Arlington, Virginia.
Yes, thank you. I was wondering, do you think Tony Blair might be prematurely overplaying his hand in these miracles that he's had lately, and that the further fallout might reach as high as his office down the road?
Nick Fielding?
That comment has certainly been made, and as I say, I mean, he cannot continue to do this. It was a very, very tight vote. I think it was absolutely vital for him to win that vote yesterday, because had he not done so, it would have cast a shadow over today's things as well, and it may have just tipped the balance in some people's views about whether or not he should continue. But I think, you know, standing back from it, one has to say he has probably come out of these last 2 days better than anybody expected. That's not to say unscathed, but better than anybody expected.
Ben, thanks very much.
Thank you.
The BBC did not come off better than anyone expected. They have, before this report, issued proclamations about changes to their editorial procedures, but very quickly, they look pretty bad.
It's not a great day for the BBC. I think it is probably going to shake up the organisation. Interestingly, the reporter, as I say, has not yet resigned. The Director General has not resigned. The head of news gathering has not resigned. It looks like, at the moment at least, all these people are going to stay in their posts, which means that they feel some kind of confidence in their position. But undoubtedly, they will have this raised against them time and time again by the government, and I think it's going to make them cautious as news gatherers.
And indeed, their reauthorization comes up before Parliament fairly quickly. Nick Fielding, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Nick Fielding is a senior reporter with the Sunday Times of London, and he joined us on the phone from his home in Oxford, England. In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.